The plague of darkness came to an end. And the third reading opens with the Pharaoh calling for Moshe, Vayikra Pare El Moshe. The Pharaoh calls Moshe. Vayemer, he says, okay, let's talk. Lechu Ivdu Es Hashem. Go worship your God. No problem. You can take your children, take your families, I get that all. Rak Tzoynchem Uvekarchem Yutzog. Let your sheep and your cattle remain here. Gam Tapchem. Also your children, Yelichimachem. So previously the Pharaoh said, no way, no, the kids aren't going. You wanted to bring offerings, animal offerings. It's not a child's play. Children will stay right here. Pharaoh said, I know what you want. You want to run away. Moses said, nothing doing. We're going. Everybody's going. The whole family is going. Every child, every senior citizen, everybody's going. The Pharaoh says, fine. Okay, let everybody go. But your residuals, your animals, they stay here. Now, the word yutzog is a rather unusual word. We don't find it, really, in the Torah. And Rashi says that the word yutzog means yehei mutzog. They should remain standing. Bimekomo, in its place. Don't take the animals into the desert. Let's back up for a moment and just note that the pasuk begins with the words Vayikra Parei El Moshe. When did he call him? When did this calling take place? So the Ibn Ezra says this calling took place after the second set of 3 days of darkness. There were two sets of 3 days. The first 3 days, it was so dark they couldn't see anything. The next 3 days, it was so dark they couldn't move. And then when that is over, the Pharaoh calls Moshe. And you'll see, says Ibn Ezra, that he does not speak to him in a pleading, begging voice. He doesn't say, please pray to God to get rid of this darkness. He couldn't. How would they find Moshe? They were in the dark. So at this point, he's already back in a normal circumstance. He doesn't exactly feel he's in control. He knows he's not. But at the same time, he doesn't feel the pressure that typically came along with the plagues. Now, another interesting thing to note is he only mentions cattle and sheep. He doesn't mention that anybody's dogs. He doesn't mention their cats. Most people are more connected to their pets, right? To their cats and dogs, more so than their sheep. So Ramban says this is because the residuals, the wealth of the Jewish people, whatever little bit of wealth, whatever little bit of things they owned was basically sheep. As you remember, that's how the Jewish people came into the land of Egypt as shepherds, having sheep. So that's the one thing that they still actually kind of held on to. Now the Sif Sekreinim has a very interesting take on this. He says, you know that the sheep was Elul Mitzrayim. The sheep was the god of Egypt. And the Egyptians are very superstitious. And the Pharaoh felt that if the Jewish people would have the sheep with them, they would control this god. Go figure, this is a god. They would control the god. They would control the astrology of the sheep. So, and in doing so, this would enable the Jewish people to break free. So to make sure that they didn't have control over what he called mazel tle, over the zodiac of the sheep. What's it called, the zodiac in April of...
Constellation.
Aries, I think.
Oh, what is the sheep?
Aries. So as long as they don't have control over Aries, the ram, you know, that they worship. So he said, okay, the sheep stay here. Don't take the sheep with you. The sheep will stay here. And in this way, you don't have full control. I'll still be able to make sure that I can rein you in. At any rate, either way, whether you understand this in a pshat level, that he says, leave your valuables behind so you come back for them, or because there's some kind of energy thing here, the Pharaoh wants to make sure they're not leaving. He wants to make sure they're coming back. That's what his issue is. Yemer Moshe. Moshe says, no. That's not going to happen that way. Not only we are going to take our sheep with us, gam ato titim biodenu. You'll be giving us your sheep, zvachim, offerings, v'oilos, things, offerings that we'll partake of, offerings that will be a scent offerings, burnt entirely, v'asino la'ashem alekenu. And we're going to make this all for our God. You'll be participating too. So that's rather unusual. Pharaoh said he wanted to make sure they hold on to all the sheep, and Moses should have said, no, we're taking all our sheep. Instead he says, we're taking your sheep too. You know, Unkelus renders the word yutzag as like leaving behind. He says, leaving it behind. That's how he puts it. The whole point of leaving it behind in a pshat level is because he wants to make sure they come back. Make sure they don't run away. So Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, not only we're taking everything, this is the first time we hear this. He says, we're taking your sheep too. Now here the Pharaoh starts getting really crazy. You're taking my sheep too? The Sifsikoyanim follows his approach and saying, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, he didn't say sheep, he says, Miknenu Yelechimanu, our, in the next pasuk he says, our flocks are going to go with us. Loitishoer parsa, there's not going to be a single hoof left behind. Kimimenu, why is this? From it, from what we take, Nikach la'avedes Hashem, we will take to serve God. Va'anachnu le'neda ma'na'aved, we don't know what Hashem is going to ask for, ad bo'enu shama, until we get there. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you'll be giving us animals too. Our animals, self-understood, will come with us, and that's because we don't know what God will ask of us. And we have to make sure that each request that God makes will be met. Let's take a look in Rashi. Gam ata titen, says Rashi, the word gam also means loydayecha. Not only are you going to give us permission to take what belongs to us, shemikneinu yelechimanu, that our flocks will go with us, as we are requesting, but rather elagam, in addition to the offerings that we're going to bring, mishalcha, they'll bring offerings that are brought from you, titen. You'll be giving, you'll be participating in this great big spiritual revival fest, and you'll be providing us with offerings. As Moshe Rabbeinu continues to say, of course our flocks will go with us. They won't stay, a single hoof will not be behind. Rashi says, parsa means parsas regal, the hoof of the foot. In old French, it's rendered as planteur. But the bottom line is, won't be a single hoof print left. And why is this? Because, says Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the reasoning, is the logic. Loineda manavit. We know what kind of request God is making of us. We know that he wants animal offerings. That's what we know. But we don't know the volume. We don't know kama tichbad ha'aveda. How much will he be asking for? We don't know. Shema yishom imenu, maybe he'll ask of us, yoyser mimasha yesh biyadenu. Maybe God will request that we give him more than we actually own. And therefore, we'll have no choice but to take your animals as well. The Pharaoh hears this, and he's not happy. Now, I have to tell you, not everybody agrees with Rashi that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually suggesting that the Pharaoh would give animals and that those animals would be used as offerings. Not everybody's happy with that. Because that is to say, as if Pharaoh is going to participate in a very Jewish event. Who says? So, for example, you do have the Ibn Ezra follows the same line of Rashi. He says, you'll be giving us animals, and we'll be bringing the animals on your behalf. However, Ramban disagrees. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu never intended to take anything from the Pharaoh. He just was teaching us how to negotiate. The Pharaoh said, you can't take your animals. Moshe said, we're taking your animals. This is like the art of the deal.
Is it we're taking yours or you're giving yours?
Well, Rashi says you're giving. Ramban says we're taking. We're taking means you're giving, you'll be giving. He says, no, I'm not giving. Oh, yeah, I could be giving. That's the art of the deal. But you have to have kishkas made of steel to do this, right? That's why Trump could do it. who makes demands like that? Like a normal person doesn't feel he's empowered to make such demands. Moshe Rabbeinu's teacher says, go the extra mile. What? We're not asking for what we wanted. That's what we were asking yesterday. Now we're asking twice as much. Now I want you to participate too. Ramban says it's just a negotiating tactic. You see, the original art of the deal was written by Moses.
But they didn't take from the Egyptians, not like some thing that didn't come to fruition.
They didn't take the animals, they didn't take the sheep.
No?
Sheep of the Egyptians?
I'm not even sure what sheep they had left after all.
Apparently they had some sheep left. clearly they had some sheep left. Like that's like the only thing of value they had. That's what Ramban says. But I don't remember them taking the sheep of the Egyptians necessarily. It doesn't say that. They say they left with donkeys laden with all kinds of wealth. They left with gold and silver, wardrobes, weapons. It doesn't say they left with sheep. So Ramban says it's a negotiating tactic. Moshe Rabbeinu is just trying to demonstrate how much what he's asking for. Not that he actually believed that God would make a request of asking what's impossible. It was a tactic. Abarbanel goes even further. He says, what, do you think that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to bring the karbanos of a wicked person to help a wicked? If you bring karbanos, I mean, it helps him. Moshe Rabbeinu would help the evil Pharaoh to bathe in baby's blood? It's going to help him by giving him the opportunity to bring a karban? No, it's impossible to imagine that. Now, to be sure, since they didn't actually do it, you can't be certain that Moshe Rabbeinu actually meant it in that sense. You can't be certain of that. Maybe it was a negotiating tactic. Rashi doesn't go into that. He just says, here's the facts. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Ramban is reading in the backstage. He says, one second, you think he was really going to do that? Abarbanel was like, what? He would never do that. He would never take his animals and use them as an offering. And he doesn't.
But what's the difference in taking their gold and silver that's used to build the Mishkan and versus taking an animal to use as a sacrifice?
It's a very good question. It's actually a very good question, Nathan. What's the difference in taking their gold and silver, which was used for the Mishkan? First of all, a lot of the gold and silver get used for the eagle. Unfortunately.
That wasn't the intention, though.
Yeah, I understand. So the thing is this. When you bring a karban, the karban results in elevation for whoever sent the actual karban. And in the Beis HaMikdash, Gentiles are allowed to offer karbanos, oilos, a scent offerings. And when we bring the ola on behalf of a Gentile, that's a big deal. But at the same time, you cannot compare that to some gold that's smelted or melted into some larger mass or other precious metal. It's not identifiable as here is the carbon brought by such and such. It's not exactly.
Put a plaque in,
I was going to say something. A plaque in every door handle?
The giving of the sheep would have been like submitting, like giving, like accepting. They lost, in a way.
Well, maybe, and that's you know, the Sifsikranim emphasizes that's what Moshe was telling him. Not only we'll take our sheep, be giving us the sheep. In other words, not only you're not going to have control over Ares will help us, so to speak. And this is all, that's basically the conversation. The bottom line is the Pharaoh says, nothing doing. Tell it to Sweeney's grandmother, I don't accept. Where did the Pharaoh get the strength to do that? He knew what's coming. Hashem strengthened his heart. The Pharaoh did not agree to send them. In fact, the Pharaoh got so frustrated at this point. Pharaoh said to Moshe, "Lech me'olai, get the heck out of here. Hishomer lecha, watch yourself. Al teisef ra'is pani, I never want to see your face again. Ki b'yem ra'is chafanai, the day I see your face, Thomas, you're going to die." Moshe says, funny you should say that. Kain dibarta, well said, Pharaoh. I will not be coming to see you anymore. But before I do leave, one more prophecy. And right there and then, Moshe Rabbeinu gets that final prophecy in which he tells the Pharaoh that there's going to be an incredible plague coming your way. You're not going to know what hit you. The firstborns, all of them in the entire country. And he gives Moshe Rabbeinu gives him the final word. And with this, Moshe Rabbeinu turns and leaves. Now we know, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu does see the Pharaoh again. So what does it mean? V'yem ra'is chafanai Thomas. So the thing is, it's pretty clear that what the Pharaoh was saying is, don't ever come see me again. Moshe says, I won't. I never want to see your face again. No problem. I won't be looking for you. You'll be looking for me. And of course, the Pharaoh is. The Pharaoh comes seeking out Moshe Rabbeinu after the makkah of the firstborn, when he's the only one who's left behind. As Ramban says, the intention here is not to see Moshe's face. The intention here is Moshe saying, I will not show my face. That's what he means. He doesn't say, I'll never see your face again, or you'll never see my face again. He says, I won't be showing up anymore. Well said, I'm gone now. And once I leave, I do not come back. As Chizkuni says, Le'oisif lovoy, I will not be returning to you. You'll need to come to me. I won't be coming back to you. And this is the final showdown between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paray. The last time Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Pharaoh as he, when he is a monarch, as if he's asking for something. And from here onward, Egypt is finished. The Pharaoh will never again rise as a monarch. The next time he sees Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll be on his knees begging him to leave. And you know, the rest of that is, as they say, history. So here's the big question. The big question is, are we supposed to take what Moshe Rabbeinu said seriously? Was it just a negotiating tactic? Is there any truth to the notion that Leineda Manavid, we know what God wants us to do, we don't know how much of it he wants us to do? Kama Tichba Daveda, is any truth to that? Shema Yishal Mimenu Yeser Mashiesh Biadenu, can God ask people to give more than what they have in hand? Can God ask you more than you're able to? Can he take more than you can give? Does God make impossible demands? That's essentially the question. Moshe Rabbeinu seems to say, yes, God is impossible. You think you're difficult, Pharaoh? Guess our new boss, he's really impossible. He makes impossible demands. But we have this rule in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Betrun Yabriyesav, God does not make impossible demands. He doesn't come with overwhelming demands of his creatures. And we know that Lufum Gam L'Shichna, God loads up each camel, proverbially speaking, as much as one is able. So how do we understand this negotiating tactic, this expression that Moshe Rabbeinu uses? Is it just verbiage, or is it the real deal?
Isn't it more fundamentally, why does Moshe have to even justify that? Like, what, to Paro? Like, isn't it enough just to say that, we're taking all our things and goodbye?
Even in, extreme negotiating tactics, you have to somehow justify your position.
Really? He's in the position of strength.
He is in a position of strength, but there's still a negotiation going on here. He's not just giving orders. The Pharaoh says, here's what we're going to do. You're going to go. I'm giving in. You can take the family, but you can't take the animals. And Moshe's response is, yeah, we're going to take the animals. And guess what? We need to take yours too. The Pharaoh's like, what? Moshe says, oh yeah, because we don't know what he's going to ask of us. He may make unreasonable demands. And so we'll have to take your animals as well. This is part of the conversation. But the question is, how seriously do we take this? And it seems from Rashi, very. So Kuf Pei Beis, which is the equivalent of page 182, Simen Yud of Parshas Bay, in the Biurim book. Yesh Lishal, we can ask this question here. Ma Pesha Divri Moshe, what in heaven does that mean? How are we to understand the words of Moshe? Shema Yishal Mimenu, maybe he'll ask of us, Yeser, Mimashi Yesh Biyadenu, more than we have. Is it possible to entertain the notion that God will take or demand of the Jewish people? Could God make such a demand that can't be met? Really? And number two, Imamnam ein ladas. That's how it is. He does make impossible demands. He's the boss, and you don't know how much kama yivakesh. It's possible they'll make requests of Jewish people. He may well ask for more than they have in hand. Well, in that case, then what's the difference? What's the point of bringing every single animal of Mitzrayim? Pharaoh said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I didn't get this. What are you talking about? He said, maybe he's going to make impossible demands. If he makes impossible demands, my animal's not going to help either. You're saying you need to take my animals. Why? Because you have to meet the demands. And the demands are going to be beyond what we have. And the Pharaoh should have responded, in that case, if that's the logic you're using, why is it going to help to take my animals? Even if you take my animals, he could ask you for even more than that. You still won't be able to meet his demands. The Pharaoh said, it's a no-brainer, a no-starter. This doesn't work at all. But Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be saying something logical. And he's negotiating with the Pharaoh. And he comes with, like you said, explanation. He's justifying his position. So the Rebbe says an amazing thing. V'yesh leimar, the likely answer is, ha'tshuva l'kach nimtzeis b'lshen Rashi. The answer to this question is found exactly in the words of Rashi, in the precise verbiage that he employs. He says, shema yishal yeser, mima sheyesh, biyodeinu. He may ask more than we have in hand. Biyodeinu means in hand. He'll ask more than we have available now. What would you call in hand? Amna muvin, it's understood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yidrish v'bnei Yisrael yoyser mima sheyesh biyacholtam lahasig. God could never demand more than you're capable of procuring. But he could ask you for more than you have in hand. So he said, like, God makes a demand. How are you going to fulfill that demand? You know how. You're capable. You'll find a way to do that. I don't have it yet. I don't have it in hand. It's not available. It's not liquid yet. Sell the buildings. You can do this. You just don't know how you're going to do it. You don't have it in hand yet, but it could. You can get it. Yitachem behechlet, it is definitely, eminently possible, sheyidrish mehem yoser mashiyesh biyadeyim. God may well ask more than we have in hand. God could ask what you don't have, what you can get from elsewhere. Where would you get it from? If you don't have it on hand, where else would they get sheep from? Uncle Pharaoh. It's available. Go right ahead and take. The flocks of the Pharaoh, Shekamuvan, who Rav Le'ein Arech, Miknem, they saw. How many sheep did the Jewish people have ready? I mean, this is like slave people, beaten people, ghetto people. How many sheep could they have had? The people didn't have what to eat. Well, the sheep were scrawny things, probably, eating matzah nebuch. It couldn't be very impressive. But the Pharaoh, he must have had nice flocks. Shehoyu avodim, the Jewish people, after all, were slaves. But lehoyu lehem rechush rav, they didn't have a tremendous amount of wealth. Especially because we know that the Pharaoh, earlier from Parshas Vayigash, the Pharaoh purchased everybody's flocks. Everything was state-owned. So the Pharaoh must have had enormous flocks. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Divrei Moshe Boyim, the words of Moshe come then, the Hemshech LePasuk HaKedem, as a continuation of the previous verse. Gam Ata, you too, Titan Biyodeinu Zvachem Ve'elis. You know why you're going to be giving us? Because Ma'achash HaNach Lo'inedem HaNavet. We don't know what we'll need. Therefore, you'll be giving us to make sure that our needs are going to be met. V'yitachin, Shakadosh Baruch Hu le'yistapek b'mikne shebiyadeinu. It's quite possible, said Moshe, God will not be satisfied with what we can offer. V'yidresh, he'll demand of us, shenakrev gam mishalcha, that we should take from you as well. So as long as you can get it, God can still ask of it. And once God asks, we have to do. What's the lesson for this? It's a big lesson. Rebbe says that a heroah, a lesson in Avedas Hashem, can be learned al derech haremes. This alludes to something. And it's not what you think. In the book of Hayom Yom...
It's not a business lesson? Maximize your earnings potential?
No, it's not a business lesson, Nathan. No? It's about maximizing potential, but not on a business level. At least the business of Yiddishkeit.
This is going to replace Milton Friedman's book.
You think, eh? We already replaced the Art of the Deal. Now you want to replace Milton Friedman too? Yedua Teiris of Baal Shem Tev is a well-known teaching of the Holy Baal Shem Tev, which is actually quoted in the book of Hayom Yom. Sha'al ha'odom lilmeid heira ba'avedis Hashem, that a person has to learn lessons in serving Hashem. Mikol davar shehureya ishameya. Anything you see or hear should be a lesson. Gam kishemedu b'binyan ha'olam. Even when you're talking about worldly matters. Everything you see, everything you hear, it's a lesson. L'chayre, the Rebbe says, that's quite astonishing. That needs to be better understood. Ha'im lo yidai b'ha'iroi samafurashas b'teiru b'divri chazal. You expect a Yid to learn the whole Chumash. You expect him to learn the whole Navi. You expect him to learn all the Chetuvim. Okay, that's just Tanakh. That's just the 24 books. Then you expect him to learn all the Mishnah. Then you expect him to learn all the Sefer HaSefri and Mechilta. Then you want him to learn all the Gemara. Then you want him to learn the Rashi and Tesvis and the Marsha. And it goes on and on and on. Why should you learn all these things? What do you mean there's lessons for all these things? They're teaching us how to be a Yid. And you have to learn how to be a Yid. So the Rebbe says, please, I have to learn now from what says in the newspaper too. Forget that you shouldn't look necessarily in the newspaper. I looked in the newspaper, says the Baal Shem Tov. What do you learn from that? A lesson in Avedis Hashem. And the Yid says, please, Abayin Shalelam, I'm still trying to learn a lesson from the Mishnah I learned this morning. I'm still trying to make sense out of a Pedic of Rambam. And you want me not to learn a lesson from what I saw on Facebook too? Come on, that's not reasonable. Isn't it enough for me to learn the lessons from the things that are already supposed to teach me lessons? This is what we learn from here. Le'itim sometimes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mistapek v'masha na'avei deseh mashiyesh bi'adeinu. The Torah you already have in hand. That's already a lesson. You just have to open the book. You just have to click and listen. It's already available. But sometimes, we have to go beyond what's in hand. Ha'hira is the lessons. Ubinyani aveda mefurash b'teira. The things that are clearly spelled out in the Torah, that is in hand already. That's already couched in the terms of a lesson. It already is Torah. Torah means a lesson. That's the name Torah. That's the word means. A lesson, a teaching. That's already a teaching. But sometimes Hashem asks, Shenavadei say that we should serve Him gam b'emtzayis mikneil shofari. Sometimes God wants us to use the cattle, the sheep, the flocks of the Pharaoh too. And that means, proverbially speaking, ha'ira'es ha'nolmadeis, lessons that can be learned minyanei olam, from worldly matters. The flocks of Pharaoh represent the worldly reality. And just like there's a possibility of bringing the worldly reality, the flocks of Pharaoh, Moshe Rabbeinu says, we need those flocks. So too, the Baal Shem Tov would explain to you, you need to learn a lesson in Avodas Hashem, not only from the Torah that's in hand, but even from the things that aren't, which doesn't mean you should go looking for things. That's not what the Baal Shem Tov said. He said, if it encounters you, if it comes your way, that too is a sign that you must learn something from it. And that's the real meaning of Avodas Hashem, not doing what's in hand, not doing what comes easily available, but maximizing potential and utilizing every circumstance in a positive way so that we can become the kind of Bnei Ubnei Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us.